Spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning again. If any of you haven't been keeping track, the first day of spring is approximately 9.5 weeks from today, 65 or 66 days, so we gotta be patient. I'd just like to leave you with a few thoughts about today's gospel. You know, I think most of us, all of us here, would consider ourselves pretty good Christians. I mean, we come to church, we try to lead a good life, we try to be good people as well as we can. But you ever really stop about and think about what a Christian is or what it involves to be a Christian? If you haven't, I haven't. But anyway, well, I have. Anyway, today's gospel gives us the answer to that question. In the gospel today, John the Baptist sees Jesus going by, and he said to his disciples, his followers, he says, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." And after that, some of his disciples follow Jesus, and Andrew, who was with him, he decided he was going to go and get his brother Peter and tell him. He said, "We have found the Messiah." And scripture tells us that after he did that, not only John the Baptist's disciples, but Andrew and Peter and some of their fishermen friends, they abandoned their nets, and this is the key, and all their belongings, and they left to follow Jesus. And that is what it means to be a Christian. Not only saying we are a Christian, not only saying I commit myself to Christ in the, but total commitment. Every aspect of our lives should be influenced by our faith in Christ and in his teachings. You know, we've all read articles about how many Protestant and Catholic Christians have stopped going to church for one reason or another. You know, I think someday the church should take a poll on why a lot of these people don't come to church anymore. Some reasons might be because, whatever, they might have personal reasons. But a lot of cases, I think, will be that the church has driven them out by some of the things that they demand of people today. What we have to remember, and it's really important, you know, our faith is not the church. It's not about the church and the church's hierarchy. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about prayers and penances and services and programs. Being a Christian, our faith is about how close we live to what Christ expects of us as his followers. You know, we don't have to be saints. We don't have to be perfect people. Our Lord's first disciples were a bunch of ragamuffins. All we have to do is just do our best to live in the way we think that our Christian way of life demands of us. And if we do that, then Christ will be there to lead us, to feed us, and he will see that we all achieve eternal life. You know, every Sunday morning, We come to Mass and we pretty much say the same thing that Andrew did to all of his buddies. We have found the Messiah. We say, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. We make that profession of faith every Sunday morning, or every time we come to Mass, practically. But you know, it's not enough just to make that profession of faith if we don't live the commitment and the profession of faith that we make every Sunday. We have to live it, otherwise it becomes meaningless. There's a song I'm sure that we're all familiar with from The Sound of Music. Mark found a sheet with the song on it. But anyway, the words go something like, a bell is no bell till you ring it. A song is no song till you sing it. Love in your heart was not meant there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. And we can go further and we can say, a Christian is not a Christian until he or she decides to give their or to live their whole life for Christ and according to Christ's teachings. You know, I'll go back to what I said last week. We can't commit to somebody that is not a part of our lives. And if we want to make Christ a part of our lives, then it is absolutely necessary for all of us to receive the sacrament of the Eucharist often. Every time we come to church, we should receive Christ so that he can be a part of us, give us the grace we need to live as good Christian people and to make that commitment that he asked of us. I went on a little long, but I'll leave you with this story. This is about a story of a little less than commitment. It's about a young teenage boy. This young teenager wrote a note to his latest best girlfriend, and he begins by saying, "My dearest Sue, I would swim the mighty ocean for one glance from your lovely eyes. I would walk through the wall of fire for one touch of your delicate hand. I would cross the widest desert and climb the highest mountain for a single word from your warm lips." And he signs it, "Love, Arnold." And then there's a PS, and he says, "I'll see you in church on Sunday if it doesn't snow." Anyway, I was asked to remind any of you that would like to take one of those poinsettias, please feel free to come and take one home. If you have a green thumb or a whatever colored thumb, take it home and make it grow. Please stand for the...